tree is glowing, the sky is gently snowing, our cups are overflowing, and we forget to toss those four away. Standing up, keeping us safe, face harm and lands far away.
Now, our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. We're going to do that a little bit differently today. In the studio with me today is Vinnie Forrest. We will talk to Vinnie and some others, gentlemen, shortly. But first, Vinnie and I will alternate reading the names of those who have fallen since our last broadcast. Sergeant Brian T. Williams, age 25, of Sparks, Georgia. He was with the 3rd Infantry Division, killed by insurgent small arms fire in New Mania, Iraq, on November 22nd.
And we have Petty Officer Second Class Brian M. Patton, 37, of Freeport, Illinois. He was with the Navy Reserve. He died of injuries suffered in a motor vehicle collision near Camp Virginia in Kuwait, November 19th.
Specialist Jason A. McLeod, age 22, from Crystal Lake, Illinois. He was with 4th Infantry, killed by insurgents with mortar fire near Pashmul, Afghanistan, on November 23rd.
We have Staff Sergeant Matthew A. Puccio, 34, of Cockeysville, Maryland, 20th Special Forces Group, Maryland Army National Guard. He was killed when a roadside bomb detonated near his vehicle during combat patrol near Pache Kala, Afghanistan, on November 23rd.
Marine Lance Corporal Nicholas J. Hand, just 20 years old, from Kansas City, Missouri. He was with the 2nd Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, November 22nd.
And we have Staff Sergeant John J. Cleaver, 36, of Marysville, Washington. He was with the 82nd Airborne Division, one of two soldiers killed when a suicide car bomber attacked their unit in Zabul Province, Afghanistan, November 19th.
The other soldier killed in that same incident was Sergeant Daniel A. Frazier, age 25, from St. Joseph, Missouri, 82nd Airborne.
And Specialist Joseph M. Lewis, 26, of Terrell, Texas, was with 1st Cavalry Regiment, 2nd Infantry Division. He died of wounds suffered when his vehicle was hit by a roadside bomb in Kandahar, Afghanistan, November 17th.
Specialist Christopher J. Coughland, age 43, from Baltimore, Maryland. He was with the Army Reserve, killed by a roadside bomb in Wardak Province, Afghanistan, November 13th.
And lastly, Marine Lance Corporal Sean P. Hefner, only 22, of Hyco, Texas, 2nd Marine Division. He died in combat in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, on November 13th. And God bless all these guys, Bob, you know, on this very special day where we thank everyone around us and realize the beauty and love we have and these families who lost their loved ones. Hits home to me as the father of a serving U.S. Marine. So thank you so much for allowing me to join you in this.
Thank you. Thank you. You do these men honor, and I appreciate your participating. All these 10 American servicemen were alive on the date of our last broadcast 2 weeks ago. Many young American men and women are in danger right this second. Please remember to think of them. To appreciate the sacrifice so many have made and will continue to make so we can continue to enjoy the fruits of America. It would be a terrible injustice for you, and yes, I am talking to you, to take them for granted. Each of these deaths is a great loss to their families and to all Americans and all fighters for a better world. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the very near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Okay, we're going to change gears. Time for the Culture Corner. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions and you have the right to differ from them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. Well, we saw Finian's Rainbow Broadway musical. This revival of Finian's Rainbow is an enjoyable time, no doubt about that, and that is what many people go to Broadway theater for. Mostly upbeat, a bit farcical, with a couple of recognizable songs like How Are Things in Glacamora and Old Devil Moon. The play originally opened in 1947. What is that? 62 years ago. It has been revived before. It was made into a movie in 1968. And it is poignant to reflect how a timely message in 1947 hasn't lost its punch, just as in South Pacific's racial message in 1949. In the latter, it is prejudice against Pacific Islanders, and in Finian, it is in the American South against blacks. Racism certainly does hang on, doesn't it? Well, in Finian's Rainbow, there is a leprechaun who is rapidly losing his magic because of his missing pot of gold, which Mr. McLonergan, that's Finian, has borrowed. The leprechaun's three wishes are accidentally put to good use, which is a good thing, but when Og, that's the leprechaun, loses his magic and falls in love with a human, we have to wonder if any of the rules of nature apply anymore. Just a word about Cheyenne Jackson as Woody. Mr. Jackson hits his marks, moves well, recites his lines impeccably, and he is matinee idol handsome. That suited him in Broadway's recent Xanadu, where he played a dreamer. But if he is to be believable as a local hero, even in musical comedy, there needs to be more. I think he is a work in progress. In this role, he reminds me of Richard Boehmer's Tony in the film version of West Side Story. Just a little too clean-cut and scrubbed and guileless to be a local hero. Just as Boehmer was a little too wide-eyed as Tony. Hopefully, Jackson is not being typecast just for his looks, and hopefully he has more talent than he has shown. I'd like to see him try something which actually involves acting. Some fine performances here. Terry White as Dottie tears it up nicely. Supporting cast is mostly good, well-directed, and excellently choreographed by the extremely talented Warren Carlyle. The play will not change your life, give you any great epiphanies, but it will likely provide a fun afternoon or evening out. You are listening to Environmentally Sound on WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Waiyi Creek or Wangi Wangi, Australia, Avalanche, Oahu, Lahaina, Maui, Aunu'u, American Samoa, or Oxnard, California, you have logged on to www.wvox and you are listening live. Well, my guest today is Vincent Forrest, a volunteer firefighter and first responder at Ground Zero on 9/11 and in the days thereafter. He's co-founder with his wife of Gear Up Foundation, which provides retired firefighting equipment to countries in need of it, and now an independent candidate for the United States Senate. Welcome back, Vinny Forrest.
Pleasure to be here, Bob. Okay, Thank you very much.
We also have in the studio Ivan Gatti, Frank Lucisano, and Dave Unger, and they'll be joining us as time goes by. Meanwhile, Vinny, you've been here before. We've discussed your work at Ground Zero and your subsequent health problems. We've had Dr. Stephen Levin, your doctor, Mount Sinai, right?
Yes.
Mount Sinai doctor. And we've discussed Gear Up Foundation. We'll get to your Senate bid in a moment. But first of all, how is your health these days?
I'm doing pretty well, Rob. We've been under lots of treatments from the great doctors at Mount Sinai, and a lot of guys are stabilized. Others are getting much worse. We've lost 850 first responders since I've been here last from their exposures.
So this is beyond the people who died at Ground Zero. This is people who have just died of the effects of those.
Yes.
And actually, just to remind everybody, in case somehow you have forgotten what happened at Ground Zero, the first responders that went in there, the firefighters, police, were breathing all that toxic debris and all that powdered computers and concrete and glass, and that did affect their lungs terribly. And how many people have died since then of those?
850 are confirmed directly related to their 9/11 service.
And Vinny, fortunately for us and for me personally, you are still cooking, and you seem healthy, but I'm sure you have still, your lungs don't feel like my lungs.
No. But we're fighting the good fight, and you know, there are times when you have to rise to the occasion and step outside of your own problems. That's what makes us unique and special as Americans. Mm-hmm. And to see what's happening in our country and our state, I felt this is a call I have to answer, and which is why I'm here with you.
Good. Now, before we get to your Senate bid, I'd like to also ask about Gear Up Foundation. How is that doing? Just tell the people in your own words what it's about.
Yeah, well, Gear Up Foundation was formed soon after 9/11. It gave us the ability to involve first responders, firefighters, and alike who were unable to work in their previous jobs because of their exposures, health problems, and allowed us to donate used fire equipment and provide training to firefighters in need around the world. It was our effort to be a living tribute to the brave men and women who died on 9/11 and exemplify their service by donating equipment that will continue to save lives in their names. And we've been very well received around the world, and it says we act as ambassadors of goodwill. And if we can affect people around the world to see who we are every day as Americans because we care, it goes far beyond any politics, I believe. Sure. And we affect people each and every day through our life-saving donations and efforts.
So the equipment that you donate, I gather, is equipment that is substandard, obsolete in America, but it's gold to people in other countries.
Oh, absolutely. What we throw out is better than the best frontline equipment most of these countries have. So it's equipment that really, for liability reasons, you couldn't donate it here domestically. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone would be happy to, you know, sue you if somebody gets hurt on a piece of used or, you know, damaged equipment. But like you said, the people in South America, for instance, or the Philippines, are putting it right into service to save lives, and it has.
It's kind of like when we eat in restaurants here, all our leftovers get thrown out, and those leftovers are better than the food that so many people around the world eat. That would be gold to them, stuff that we just, I'm not going to eat the crust of that bread.
We don't realize how lucky we are. I mean, here we sit here on Thanksgiving, and we have the bounty and the gifts that we have. And, you know, I think we all should take the moment to sit there and realize just how lucky we really are and how blessed we are to have the people that are surrounding us at the table, and to have the bounty of what's in front of us every day.
I agree. Ivan, would you like to have a little Thanksgiving thought, perhaps?
Yes, I think it's time for people to have introspection about how lucky we are in this country that it's absolutely free. I was born in Europe, and the communists in 1949 came into my father's store and basically says, "You're now a communist." My father turned around and himself says it's not where he wants to be, and they said, "Well, take your hat and leave the keys," and thank God we escaped. I was 3 years old. We escaped to a Red Cross refugee camp for 2 years. We were there, and then we ended up in Canada. We got paper. So freedom is such a, it's in my blood from because of the experience I had even though I was a young child, but that's the environment I grew up in, and this country, I believe, is lacking that real appreciation of what freedom is, what the founding fathers have given us, and we're squandering it.
Absolutely. Frank, no, nothing? Dave, would you like to say a word or two, just a greeting or a thought for Thanksgiving?
I think what you highlighted, that we cannot take things for granted, is very much rings to my ear. I was a former refugee from Europe, and one of the worst dreams you have once you emigrate, that you have to go back to see your mother and then you cannot leave again because you're behind that iron curtain, which is not existing anymore between you, between Central and Eastern Europe and the rest of the world. But we should be grateful every day for this freedom. And that's a privilege which a lot of people don't understand how fortunate they have.
Yeah, and just not to beat up on the message, but this freedom will be attacked. It's under attack. It will be attacked continuously, and it's these young soldiers about whom I can't even begin to express my feelings about, who are out there right now while we're sitting in warm places. Tonight we'll sleep in warm beds. We're eating turkey to so much it'll make some of us sick. I used to do that all the time. I just I love turkey. I love stuffing and yams and cranberry sauce. I love that stuff. And stuffing. Did I say stuffing? And those guys out there, they're eating K rations out of a can. Okay, on Thanksgiving, the troops do get a nice dinner. They are eating turkey with us today, which is very nice. But tonight, they'll be back to very modest food, and they'll be out in the field, people shooting at them. And not only are they in danger of being killed, but they have the terrible responsibility of killing other people that they don't know. So, all right, so that's the way it is. Well, when we come back from break, we'll talk about your run for Senate in Connecticut in the coming election. Tell me just one little thing I'm curious about. Do you still get a new Harley Davidson motorcycle every year?
You remember this, Bob.
I do.
That was a one of those 5-year plans, and I wish it was still the case. But you know, I thank them for the wonderful gift each year from Mike's Famous Harley Davidson, and they were very good to me. I really enjoyed it.
Did you get to keep the last one, or that one went back too?
No, that went back, and big hug and thank you. And you know, it's another part of my life to step to the next level now. I know you wanted it.
No, but I would like to see it. It was a fire engine red, was it?
It's beautiful, yeah.
Now, let me just say, you have this great idea in your campaign to ask contributions of $9.11, 9/11. A small enough amount to be affordable, but it could add up quickly if it catches on. I'd like to present you with a check for 9/11 to...
Thank you, Rob.
Your bid for Senate. And I must say that even though Vinny and I, we're not exactly on the same page politically. Vinny's a bit more conservative than I am, but we're good friends, and I will be helping him with his Senate bid. And he's just such a decent, honest guy, which is so much more important than individual stance on individual messages. We don't necessarily agree on stuff, as I say, although we agree on many things. And it's just a way of being Americans together with different points of view, and how many countries in the world really afford you that that right, or that I don't know, right? That's the way of being. Here you can just say what you want to say, and for the most of privilege, whatever it is. Ivan, you want to take us on a break? We have about a minute.
Just that the privilege that we have in this country, unfortunately, it doesn't run through the blood of the people, of the Americans that are here. And there's a huge, I was talking to Vinny about a silent majority that Vinny will talk about a little bit later, that we need to have common sense, honesty, integrity, back to everyday living. And unfortunately, in politicians, it's almost acceptable for anybody to lie. Oh yeah, he's saying that just to get elected.
Right.
No. And Vinny will go into
it. It shouldn't be that way. And yes, we will go into that. Okay, you are listening to WVOX AM 1460 here in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Adelphia, Ancora, New Jersey, Allentown, Pennsylvania, or Allentown, Connecticut, Hebron, Connecticut, Kentucky, Indiana, or Hebron, Israel, Androscoggin, Piscataquis, Maine, or Egg Harbor, New Jersey, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live, and I will be back with my guests. I am Bob Lebensold. This is Environmentally Sound. We will be right back after these commercial messages.
Thanks for inviting us to your Thanksgiving.
Hey, Mom, how did all these people get in here?
Hey, just think of us as your radio family. WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. It's a fun time for everybody each and every Thanksgiving.
I'm expecting a great, beautiful day. It's awesome to be here.
One of the many people lined up to watch the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York.
10,000 participants are taking part, along with 1,500 dancers, cheerleaders, and performers. And we've talked to folks from as far away as Australia who wouldn't miss this year's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Fox Radio's Jeff Manasso at the parade. And in his weekly address for the holiday, President Obama has U.S. soldiers serving overseas on his mind.
We keep in our thoughts and prayers the many families marking this Thanksgiving with an empty seat, saved for a son or daughter, a husband or a wife stationed in harm's way.
The president's also talking about the economy in that weekly address, hailing his tax cuts and extension of jobless benefits for helping out-of-work Americans. But Indiana Congressman Mike Pence in the Republican response saying Democrats have taken the economy from bad to worse. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The hottest, most welcoming bar, the in-place in Manhattan these days, is not some anonymous hidden-away spot downtown. It's right smack in the middle of Manhattan. And are you ready for this? It's located in the famous Le Cirque restaurant, America's most celebrated dining venue. Right there, on East 58th Street, between Lexington and 3rd, in the dramatic courtyard of the Bloomberg Building, you'll find the happening place in town, Le Cirque's new wine bar. It's elegant, all right. It's also casual, with a very sexy, romantic, glamorous atmosphere. No jackets or ties ever required at the bar at Le Cirque, the wonderful new meeting place with a dazzling bar menu from Le Cirque's three-star kitchen, and all at very reasonable prices. Attractive people of all ages have discovered the Maccioni family's latest Midtown hit, open late every evening except Sunday. It's fancy, but casual and informal and great fun. The bar at Le Cirque at 58th between Lex and 3rd, and take note, the only name you need to get into Le Cirque is your own. So say hello to Cirio Maccioni's sons, Marco and Mauro, and try one of their 30 wines by the glass at the hot new Manhattan Inn spot, the bar at Le Cirque, 58th between 3rd and Lex.
Here's the updated weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity for today. Going to have cloudy conditions with the possibility of some light rain and drizzle in the early morning. A slight chance of some showers for this afternoon, or highs in the lower 50s. For tonight, rain likely. Overnight low temperatures, lower 40s. Rain likely on Friday. Friday's highs are ranging into the upper 40s. On Friday night, it'll be cloudy, the possibility of a few showers. Nighttime lows in the upper 30s, becoming partly sunny, breezy, and cool on Saturday, 45 to 50. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX and WVIP Worldwide.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of premium Cadillac, Bethel Synagogue, Arnold Forster, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Happy Turkey Day.
Well, could you do me a favor? You know, I ain't got nobody to spend Thanksgiving with, you know?
Spend it with us.
This is the place to be for the holidays.
WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
Now, back to celebrating our environment. This is Environmentally Sound with environmental activist Bob Levensold on 1460.
Thank you, Javad. We are back. We're sitting in the studio here in New Rochelle with Vinnie Forrest, Ivan Gotti, Frank Luciano, and Dave Unger. Now we would like to, just before we get to your Senate run, I'd like to just tell you about my friends at the Learning Shop, our sponsor of this program, and good friends. In fact, that song that we played before, the Christmas song, which is dedicated to our troops in the field, was an entry, my entry actually, into this year's Christmas song contest, which we have every year. And every year we play the winning entry on the air. That was just my little, the contest has not been held yet, so we don't know who the winner will be, but we generally have the winner on. We interview him and we play his song or her song. Learning Shop, however, is besides being a wonderful place with a great Christmas song contest, it's a full-service tutoring company in Harrison, New York. Provides homebound services for 22 or so Westchester County school districts. They work with Bronxville, Rye, Edgemont, Chappaqua, New Rochelle, lots of others. In addition, they provide private tutoring in all academic areas and for any number of standardized tests, GEDs, SATs, and whatever else you need. They can be reached in Harrison at 914-835-1070. The Learning Shop has been running an after-school resource room program for over 7 years, and they have had numerous successes with college-bound students as well as remedial instruction. I have to correct that. This copy is a couple of years old. It is 9 years by now that they've been running the resource room program. It runs 5 days a week from 3:30 to 5:30. They've expanded greatly over the years. They now occupy a suite of, I think, 8 offices and classrooms. They have a full state-of-the-art music studio. And they're just great guys. So that's the Learning Shop, Harrison, New York. For any educational or tutoring needs, you may reach them at 914-835-1070. Tell them Bob Levensold sent you, but don't expect any special consideration because they're already giving you everything they possibly could. They'll smile at you if you mention my name, but you can't possibly get any more than they give everybody on a day-to-day basis. Okay, Vinnie Forrest, candidate for Senate. The United States Senate in Connecticut. He's running against Christopher Dodd, who has been in there for, I don't know, 30-something years?
35 years
or so. And first of all, How did you choose to enter the race? Why are you going against Senator Dodd, and how are you going to bring him down?
Well, Bob, you know, thanks. It's almost like I'm not really running against Chris Dodd. I feel he's almost doing that himself. He's running against himself with his reputation, his policies, and just the behavior in front of the American people. We the people, to me, is the most sacred group. This is what makes us as Americans so unique around the world. So for people like Chris Dodd to abuse the system and get favored treatment because of who he is in a time when we're all struggling is an outrage to me. And it just seems that this goes through the fabric of Washington in so many ways, that they're there to represent themselves, not the people. And actually, for me, they're misrepresenting us instead of representing us. And I, as you know, I answered that call on 9/11 and gave my heart and soul for my city, my country. And we came together at Ground Zero. There was no Republicans, Democrats, black, white. We were all Americans answering a call. And there was this feeling of brotherhood. And it extended throughout the country. If you remember the feelings we had, there was such teamwork around this country after 9/11. And I want to see that come back. You know, that was, to me, the low point and then the high point all at the same time of what we are as people. And I didn't like to see that go away. So I just believe that this is another call. It's another emergency in our country right now, this time and place in history, where a citizen candidate can actually make a difference. It's about time. These men who were representing or misrepresenting us believe that once they're elected, they're there for life.
Well, now the basic attitude is a wonderful one. Do you have any specific issues that you'd like to discuss, things that that might strike a chord with the electorate?
I think the electorate is fed up with politicians and the unaccountability that's happening. So I think the major issue is accountability of your representatives. How do we respect those who elect us? My first issue would be term limits. That absolutely two-term maximum, and that would be stretching it. You know, like I'd love to say being in and out of there in one term, 6 years. But if you can't get done what you need to get done in 12 years, shame on you. And why do you think you should be there for life?
So you have pledged, in spite of knowing how politics is very seductive, you've pledged to only serve for two, if you're like.
Absolutely.
That.
And I would encourage all of those who are running on both parties to adhere to that. I doubt they will, because, as you said, once they get in, they enjoy the ride. And
well, there's a lot of money, there's a lot of prestige, there's a lot of privilege, there's great health care. They get everything.
Yeah.
Why would anybody want to leave a job like that?
No, it's incredible. And we're the ones who are putting them there. We're the ones that are paying their salaries. And here we're out there struggling.
Well, we pay their salaries, but special interests give them all their extra bonuses and perks.
So
they're more loyal to them than to us, unfortunately. Well
said. And that's why, for me, I decided to run as an independent and not be beholden to either party. And because I believe the parties control their candidate, they manage them, they control them. And that's not what I'm about. And that's why I'm looking to collect $9.11 literally across America, because for me, each one of the people of America is my special interest. I'm beholden to the people, not the special interests.
Now, there are certain issues that people are going to ask you about. Are you prepared to relate to any of them? I don't even want to put any words in your mouth, but there are some issues: economy, abortion, capital punishment, the health care. There are some real issues, and people can love you, and they're going to say, okay, we love you, Vinny, now. Where do you stand on such and such? Would you like to pick any one issue and elaborate in any way?
Hey, for me, Bob, you know me for a long time, and we've discussed things, you know, across the board. I'm pretty much an open book. I may not believe in everything everyone does, but you will always know where I stand, and it'll always be a straight and honest answer. And I think that's what we're missing in our politicians today. They try to cover every base, and in trying to cover every base, they're blowing it at every level. So, you know, for me, the economy, obviously, right now, you know, I've been living through this. You know, I've been on the edge of foreclosure in my own home. We're struggling, and I can identify when one of the former presidents, Bill Clinton, would step out and say, "I feel your pain," and he came across very sincerely about that. He seemed like a very decent man, and I can honestly say that to people when I discuss the jobs and our economy. And so for us in our town, you know, I think it's very important that people realize that the government is not there to solve all our problems. You know, we as a people, our community, our churches, our synagogues, this is where you turn to first for, you know, your guidance in many ways. And families help each other. And then from families, communities help each other. And this, I think, has been missing a lot. And in this emergency time, all of a sudden, we're starting to see people coming together again and helping each other. And it's refreshing.
Well, here, this is kind of a contentious issue. To have government control everything, I agree, government can't. Well, people have to do a lot for themselves. But in healthcare, I personally am an advocate of the government's establishing a program that's going to work, but I'm not the candidate. How do you feel about that?
Well, I have doctors as dear friends that I grew up with on both sides of this issue. I was very surprised. One of my dear friends from kindergarten, eminent doctor, he is all for the current healthcare change, government-run healthcare, which I was shocked.
Government-run or government participating and this, competing with private?
He was for the government-run portion of it.
Okay.
Then you mentioned Dr. Levin, and I won't say exactly where he stands because I don't want to put him in a position.
Right.
But what I'm trying to do is get a coalition of doctors and professionals, businessmen. For me, I always believe that America works because of its competition. And for me, healthcare, we all agree, needs to be fixed in some manner. There's problems in the system inherently, and we need to be able to address it and attack it so more Americans are covered. And you can go across the board how many people are really not covered now. Is it 6 million, 12 million, 45 million? If you take into account the illegal aliens, they're all over the place. Bottom line, we need to help fix this thing. So competition.
So it does need to be fixed.
Absolutely. And statewide, across the country.
Okay, we'll take another short break in about 30 seconds. If anybody out there would like to call in and ask Vinny a question or make themselves known on any of these issues, feel free to call in. We are in New Rochelle, as you know, 914-636-0110. If you would like to weigh in. You are listening to Environmentally Sound. I'm your host, Bob Levenshold. We're in the studio with Vinny Forrest, Ivan Gatti, Frank Lucisano, and Dave Unger. And we will be right back.
The most important thing to remember as you gather around the turkey with family and friends this year.
Don't talk with your mouth full.
A public service reminder from AM 1460 WVOX.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu, the Commander-in-Chief, saying a special thanks on this day.
For the sacrifices those men and women in uniform are making for our safety and freedom, and for all those Americans who enrich the lives of our communities through acts of kindness and generosity and service.
In his weekly address, the President also touting steps his administration's taken to help the economy. Republicans in their Thanksgiving message also showing gratitude to service members here and abroad. But on the economy,
the administration continues to insist that their stimulus plan is working. But unemployment is now at a heartbreaking 10.2%.
Indiana Representative Mike Pence slamming Democratic policies. And the Swiss government releasing director Roman Polanski on $4.5 million bail, placing him under house arrest at his chalet in the Alps. The Justice Ministry deciding whether to extradite him to the U.S. for having sex with a minor in 77. Fox News, we report, you decide.
This Friday only at the Home Depot, get live poinsettias for just 99 cents each. That's a savings of up to $4 a piece, while they last. And you can put your savings toward all our other great gifts at amazingly low prices. It all begins Friday morning at 6, starting with live poinsettias for just 99 cents each. Better bring your sleigh. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Limit 10 per customer, U.S. only. See store for details.
Shop over 250 morning specials at Macy's After Thanksgiving Sale. Friday, 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. Save an extra 20% off fashions for the whole family, like boots from Nine West, Bandolino, and Style & Company. Women's sweaters, including cashmere from Charter Club. Also, take an extra 20% off kids' fashions, men's sweaters, suits, dress shirts, and ties at Macy's After Thanksgiving Sale. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
An independent bookstore is a rare bird these days. Remember when there were many local, hometown bookshops in the New York tri-state area? But very few remain today. That's why it's such a pleasure to tell you about Words, a very special, pristine jewel of a bookstore in Maplewood, New Jersey. Words is a not-for-profit, labor of love created by Jonah Zimeles and his wife Ellen. Actually, Words is much more than a mere bookstore. It's become something of a warm, intellectual center where men, women, and children of all races, religions, ages, sexual orientations, political beliefs, and abilities are welcomed. All this plus over 5,000 current book titles. This extraordinary bookshop is at 179 Maplewood Avenue, Maplewood, New Jersey, and is being discovered by thousands of folks just like you who love books and learning. Call Words Bookstore for directions to Maplewood, 973-763-9500. In New Jersey for Words Bookstore, 973-763-9500.
This Thanksgiving, we're in a giving mood. Here, have a turkey breast.
No, thanks. Food makes me sick.
AM 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
Okay, we are back. I understand we have a caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. I just want to ask your guest, when he was talking about the health plan.
Yes.
And I was wondering why he threw in the illegal aliens would be covered.
He didn't say that, but Vinny...
Yes, he did. He said illegal aliens and everybody else would be.
No. What I was saying is that it depends which plan and attack you're looking at, that when you count the number of people that are not covered under the plans, right now it ranges from areas of 12 million up to 45 million people. And there's groups that are covering both legal and illegal aliens and all. So the numbers are very skewed depending on which plan you're looking for and how much money it's going to take to cover them.
What I mean, the plan that the president mentioned, he mentioned it was for, let's say, the working poor who can't afford it. And he also said that illegal aliens wouldn't be covered.
Right. And if you take your cue, what a normal politician says and really means and really happens behind the scenes... judging by what Chris Dodd has done with the mortgage mess and many other things, I would have to say that we have to be very, very leery of what any of our politicians are telling us up front before we really go deep into it, investigate what the plan really, really covers. And that's just for me as an outsider who's not a politician. I always have to be very leery of what these guys are telling me. But I appreciate your point. I hear exactly what you're saying.
The reason I mentioned that was, a lot of these people who are on health plans now don't realize that when they reach a certain age, these plans are going to drop them. Do they know that?
Oh, again, you know, this is like the magic tricks. Watch this hand and see what happens here. You know, I think we really need, you got 2,000 plus pages of a health care plan that even our politicians haven't even read. And then I think there's something like 400 to 600 pages of amendments. So I think if we all sit there and read this and try to figure out what it's really about, because obviously it's not written in plain English, you know,
no,
so.
let me just show you exactly. Like I had a health plan, I think it was HIP. Up to the time I was 64, I had a good plan. But when I reached 65, they told me you have to take HIP, but you got to take HIP VIP, which is like HIP Medicare. Mm-hmm. If you don't take that, they drop you.
No, look, the system to me is broken, and you know, it's up to us. I mean, this, it's we the people here, and we must do this right for everyone. And you know, I feel bad for what you're going through. And if you were in Connecticut, I'd love you to be up there to support me, but definitely spread the word, bro, because, you know, we're trying to do our best to put this thing back on track.
Okay. Yes, because the way it's going, see, what I don't like is a health plan, but it's a profit-making thing, so you know, somewhere along the line they have to make money.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Okay,
bye-bye. Okay, thanks very much. I'd like to ask Dave Unger a question. We have him here. He's an expert on energy independence, energy policy. Tell us about global energy independence. I presume that means we liberate ourselves from oil, and a renewable energy policy.
When you look at the legislations and the various negotiations that are taking place, such as Kyoto, people are highlighting the environmental benefits and of these programs. But what we have to recognize, this is also the creation of a new industry or helping an industry to come to age. Renewable electricity, building energy efficiency is a must in order to be competitive. First time the United States is not the most competitive country in the world. It now belongs to Switzerland. Sweden, within 5 to 7 years, will get off of fossil fuels. One of our biggest risks.
Entirely off of fossil fuels. Mm-hmm.
Entirely off of
including their cars.
Not the cars, but for energy power generation.
Okay.
And.
But will they be going to nuclear or something else?
I think it's a combination of several factors.
Okay.
Nuclear, renewable, and energy efficiency. As I said, again, it's a very, very important. Because these create jobs, new building codes, pushing more construction of new nuclear power sector, create a discriminative renewable energy market where solar can compete with solar, biomass compete with biomass, not with each other, because this way you would always choose the lowest nomination.
Sure.
But this could create a technology which can support these investments, and this would create jobs. Look at Germany. Germany is today one of the leading wind power manufacturing country in the world. And that was clearly by initiative of the government to have a wind power generating sector. Now they are the technology provider as well.
So
100,000 jobs for a country.
There are some objections to wind, like killing birds and things. Is that a real issue, or is it a truly viable alternative energy source?
Obviously, I think it's a truly viable energy source. When there are certain locations where maybe you should not place wind turbines, but I think in most cases is not in my backyard reflects some people just maybe they a little bit disturbed about their view, which I think is not very sensible in very often.
Well, I'd rather see a bunch of windmills than a bunch of smoke spewing stacks from oil burning plants or even nuclear plants. I'd be a little leery about living too close to them.
But remember, you need day and night power generation, and many of the renewables are tied to certain weather conditions. Daylight for solar, wind, you need wind. So you need a base load which you can have 24/7 very reliably.
So I gather that you are advising candidate Vinnie Forrest on energy matters, and that this is an important part of his campaign.
I believe so. Energy independence is part of national security. We have to recognize it. It's not just an environmental issue, not just an economical issue. It's a national security issue. We buy our fossil fuel from people who don't really like us.
Oh, I'm sure we fuel the terrorism against us with that, and also with the consumption of heroin and cocaine. All of that money goes over to our enemies.
Absolutely, and I'd rather see that value to be spent locally here with U.S. jobs, U.S. manufacturing assets, and with that, we could be competing worldwide.
Excellent. Excellent. Frank, did you have something that you'd like to add? No, not really? Okay. Vinny, we have a couple of minutes. Give us your website, please. How can people learn more about you? And I do want to ask you about the Republican debate, which you were invited to debate along with the Republican candidates.
Yes.
For Senate. How did you do in that?
Well, I believe I did well enough not to be thrown out. And look, I'm running as an independent, and I'm a conservative as well. Mm-hmm. And you know me as that. And the Republican candidates who were there, they were the same old, same old. And the crowd, because again, I praise God for everything good in my life. I believe that he's such a great part of everything we do, and kind of shocked people for saying that. So for me, I thank him for everything, especially these blessings today. For me, let me just give you the website. It's vinnyforsenate.com, and it's V-I-N-N-Y for senate.com. And that's for our campaign. And then also, if anyone's interested in supporting Gear Up Foundation, especially on this Thanksgiving, you can reach us at gearupfoundation.org. And we'd be very proud to put your donations to work around the world, saving lives and in tribute to those who give their lives every day for us and put on the uniform. And I'll do a very special hug across the many miles to my Marine who's serving overseas today.
Your son.
Yes, my son.
What is his name?
Michael Forrest. He's Staff Sergeant. He's Commander of the Guard at our embassy in Ankara and Turkey.
Well, let's hope he stays right there.
Yes.
And does not get sent to Afghanistan, because that's where it's going to start getting really crazy.
Yeah. Well, Bob, you know, more people have died in the last 10 months than died under any year of any previous president in this war. We don't hear much about it in the papers or the news. I don't know why, because we don't get the body count anymore. Must be something political about that.
No, I think we do. Actually, I think this administration is much more open about it, and they allow the returning GIs, the fallen GIs, to be photographed if it's okay with the family. So I think that this administration is more forthcoming. But, I mean, it's depressing. It's depressing.
It is.
And I think that it's good that they be paid the tribute that they deserve.
Actually. Absolutely, Bob.
Okay, I'd like to thank all of you for being here today, Vinny, Ivan, Frank, and Dave. It's been great meeting you all and chatting with you. Vinny, of course, I've known for for years. We spent a Super Sunday one day at his house. I threw my little yellow penalty flag. We won't go into that. I'd like to thank Vinny Forrest and Dave and Ivan and Frank for coming to our studios today. What America needs and what America gets are often two different things. I know Vinny. I think he would bring a breath of fresh air to the Senate. I also know that the machine does not always work according to what is right or smart or beneficial. So it's an uphill battle. Vincent Forrest enters the fray with some very good ideas and fresh approaches. If he is successful, we all win. I will certainly do what I can to help him run the good race and fight the good fight. Our thought for the week: a prudent man will consider more important what life has conceded to him than what it has denied him. Stay tuned to WVOX. I'm not sure what programming we have today, being Thanksgiving Day. I don't see Howard Sterman. I doubt if he'll be on today. But I'm happy that I had the opportunity to share your time and my guests with you. I am Bob Lebensoll. Thank you very much for listening. And remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. Happy Thanksgiving to you all and happy Christmas. But we'll meet before then. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.